This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Rana,
that's my name. Don't wear it out.
Rana, we have some exciting news for all the time. All the time. All the children, all the TikToks are just that joke.
Oh, I love TikTok.
Isn't it great, Rana?
Yeah, I love it so. I could watch endlessly people who have spent hours doing dances, learning how to do dances. I could watch it forever. I love it so much. I think it's mesmerizing.
It is your speed. There's no doubt about that.
But that's not what we wanted to talk about.
No, we want to talk about something even more exciting.
This is exciting. I believe it's tonight.
I think you're right.
So this is like a little bit of a cold open, as they call it in show business.
Yes.
Because we already recorded the episode. So now We're doing this cold open.
Put on your shawl.
One of our listeners, one of our CHIPs.
Yeah. The wonderful Leah. Get a load of this.
Is appearing on Jeopardy tonight.
I am so excited. I tape Jeopardy tape as if I'm 1984.
I believe it. I would believe you had a VHS setup.
You know what? I would too, actually.
I think you'd enjoy that. I think you would enjoy the act of pressing record and rewinding.
Is there anything more nauseating than going in someone's home these days?
VHS and seeing tapes.
Or DVDs?
No, nothing's worse than DVDs.
It's so disgusting.
Funny you should bring that up. You know, this is it. This is like an opening that's not an opening.
It's true.
Evan Dando. Do you know who that is?
Of course. The singer from like the Lemonheads?
That's the one.
Wow.
I love that I can still shock you.
Yeah, of course.
You're thinking to yourself, where was Rana sitting and what was she reading that led her to this moment?
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's
Evan Dando.
Yeah.
Who used to be the boy face, the baby face lead singer of the Lemonheads.
Right. Who was sort of more known for his looks than his talent.
Well, this is what I want to say.
Okay.
Exactly that. Which is, I never took Evan Dando seriously.
I didn't either.
And even though he was a very serious heroin addict, I never took that seriously either.
I didn't know that, but I understand, I think.
He was sort of a prep school heroin addict.
Yes, he was.
That was a thing.
Yeah. Bret Easton Ellis sort of thing.
Yeah. So he was that sort of a thing. And in any event, he posted something on Twitter. Don't ask me why Twitter, which I'm barely on. Every now and again, I don't know what the algorithm is. They send something that says, oh, this is someone just posted something for you. It's never for me.
Yeah, right.
When I look at it.
Ever. You don't know me.
The only thing they ever write about is when it's David Baddiel. I do like following David Baddiel on Twitter. I think he's terrific.
He is.
But people... Evan Dando just posted. What on earth made them think? It was more shocking. The reaction you just had to me saying Evan Dando, triple that. I haven't talked to Evan Dando or about him.
Oh my God.
I don't know. My phone couldn't even pretend I was listening in on Evan Dando. And then
when we were talking about Evan Dando, however many decades ago, we weren't.
I just said I wasn't.
We weren't. Yeah.
Well, great news. Evan Dando just posted. And so he posted a photograph of a pile of heroin. And it said something to the event of no longer a slave to this. So I don't have to worry about this. So something like that.
Okay.
To commemorate his sobriety.
Sure.
Anyway, I took a good look at that picture because I thought to myself, how old is this? When's this picture from? I started doing a little forensics.
Okay. Watch out, world.
What are we looking at? Where is this? What's in the background? Where's that light of from? You know, let's just get an idea.
Yep.
If I had to figure out where he was or if he was held hostage, could I do it?
I love it.
And then I realized that the heroin was piled on top of a CD.
So this was like 90s vibes. Early.
Who knows?
Maybe.
I hope.
God, you're right.
Yeah.
Maybe he's still listening to CDs, which, by the way, everyone just listens to vinyl and cassettes again. And, you know,
all of
this digitally.
To say, yeah. Leah is on Jeopardy tonight.
Okay. So Leah is on Jeopardy tonight.
By the way, we don't
exciting.
Even have time for this. We have to go record another episode. We just added this because Leah wrote to us and said, can you let everyone know I'm on Jeopardy? I'd love the good vibes coming my way, which on one hand makes sense. On the other hand, it's already pre-typed, I'm sure. So she either knows she already lost or won.
Who knows? But please turn into your local ABC affiliate on April 12th. That's tonight.
Today.
To see her today. Also, little info on her. She's a middle school social studies teacher. Fabulous.
Cute.
She cares about her community. She's there to nurture young minds. She's basically a saint. And she's been listening to Attitude since 2017 and Ask Rana since episode one. And she constantly is recommending the podcast to numerous friends and even strangers. And she sent us pics of her publicity. They do publicity shots. So there's one solo
publicity
of her.
Publicity shots.
They do publicity shots.
I did a few publicity shots before the show started.
Oh my God. I am turning into Liza Minnelli before our very eyes.
Well, someone has to, because I'm convinced that she's like the Dread Pirate Roberts.
Sure.
So it's your turn to be Liza Minnelli for the next 40 years.
Yeah, she really, I mean, listen, no one.
There's been four or five Liza Minnellis.
No, there's no
like
way.
Like Saddam Hussein. Yeah,
there have to be.
Doubles.
She's had 35 hip replacements. She's died 18 times. She probably had COVID 5 times. Like, I mean, you know.
I think like Saddam that she has doubles. And Melania. Remember Melania's double?
Wait. Yes, I forgot.
Did anyone ever
that.
Get to the bottom of that? Of course it was true. Did they ever get to the bottom of it?
I don't know.
We're going to find out. You know what? Where's Ned Price? Ned Price.
Where is
a big
Ned
fan
Price?
Of the show. He's now.
We've
the
never
PR
had him
spokesman.
On here, have we?
No, we haven't. He was on another show I used to do.
Yes, I remember.
He was in live in person.
Yeah.
And he is now the spokesman for the State Department.
I was going to say, is he still moving and shaking in D.C.?
Little busy.
Bet he is.
Little busy.
Yeah. True. Yeah. Well, Ned, you're welcome on any time. And Ned, I hope you're watching Jeopardy tonight. You might
but
learn
Ned
a little
will
something.
Know. Ned will know whether Melania was a double or not. And I'm telling you that she was. And I'll tell you the reason it was because they probably hadn't ironed out the prenup yet, whatever the agreement was.
Right.
Remember when she used to pull her hand away?
Oh, yeah. Remember when they landed?
He hadn't given her the money yet.
Remember when they landed at Mar-a-Lago at the end of his term, yeah. when Air Force One or whatever helicopter he takes out of there, whatever landed.
Yeah.
And there were people cheering and he stopped to give like a speech and she just walked right by him. She fucking hates him, but it doesn't mean I like her.
Walked in the house to use the bathroom and take his shoes off.
Yeah. Totally. Yep.
Done now.
Good luck, Leah.
All done.
All done, which is, you know.
Leah, this was a 12-minute open before the open, but we've got a great open and a great show.
Leah,
right
I
up.
Hope it was worth it. And by that, I mean, I hope I get what I paid for tonight.
Yeah, well, I will tell you what you're not going to get. We just gave Leah this big opening, but I bet you when they said to her, when they do the interview and they say, Leah, tell us your interests, I bet she doesn't say Ask Rana. So there.
No, she's going to talk about that dumb middle school thing she's doing.
Exactly. That kids, blah, blah.
Opening minds. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Dangerous minds.
Absolutely.
Michelle Pfeiffer. With the Coolio Gangsta
Boy,
Paradise.
Is she tough stuff, Ding Michelle Dong. Pfeiffer.
Yep.
She. So I'd be scared of her if I walked into a classroom.
She's a survivor.
She really is.
This is not the show. We have to go now.
Yeah, we got to go.
Enjoy the show.
Have fun. Hi, Rana.
Brian, this has got to be a quick intro because this is hot off the presses. This guy that we have on today.
I learned so much during this, Rana, and he is a spitfire.
We did. So people need to know. Look, time isn't always perfect, okay?
No.
We already interviewed this guy. Now we're doing the intro for the episode. Okay?
That's how it's going today.
That's just the truth.
And by the way, sometimes the audience needs to know this. And Rana, I'm going to tell you this too. When they shoot television and movies, they don't always shoot it in order. In fact, they rarely do. Did you know that? Yeah, did you know that?
What?
Yeah.
How do the actors stay consistent?
It's very difficult. Dolly Parton said when she got 9 to 5, she memorized the whole script in order. So they just all did it, the whole thing.
Oh, that is so upsetting to learn. But look, Hollywood, I mean, you know, who knows?
Yeah, who knows? So anyway, just so everyone knows, we're doing Hollywood right now, which is we already recorded the episode and we're doing the intro app.
Yeah. And this guy is terrific. I loved having him on. But as I'm about to say, I opened my New Yorker and there it was fresh.
Folded up
of his show in the New Yorker. 2 pages.
His show is just for us. It's all the hit of New York right now. You got to go see it.
The New Yorker loved it. Also in the New Yorker, a review of We Crashed.
What'd they say?
And I have to say, I watched the first episode. I haven't continued yet because I just started last night.
I feel like I would like him in that role, and I'm not a big fan of
his. I have to tell you something, and I'm not a Jared Leto fan.
Me neither.
He's incredible in this.
He's perfect for this part. Like,
and her, I don't really care too much for either. And oh, right. I forgot about that. She's great, too.
Great.
I have to say, Anne Hathaway is a good actress.
Oh, she is a good actress. She's always good.
She's a very good actress.
Yeah. She just is.
But he is incredible, and his Israeli accent is incredible. And his way of being, he is just as infuriating as any Israeli that you've ever met before.
Well, I could just see him playing this role. I'm excited to see it, actually.
He's giving a performance.
Right. He's not doing like
I've always been on the fence about, you know, he's always doing his own one-man show,
you know.
By his club and this and that. And, you know, can he act? Can he not act?
And I saw
that
Gucci,
Denzel
awful.
Movie. He was terrible in that, whatever right. that was. Denzel and him and I can't remember who else.
Rami Malek.
There's the one.
Yeah.
And that movie was sort of a pot.
I can't even remember it. And I saw it.
I don't know. Was it an Oscar movie?
It was in contention.
Is that
but
why
it didn't
we watched
anything.
It?
It was like in the free or consideration thing.
I'll throw myself in the river. But in any event, he's giving a real performance.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
I believe it.
He is watchable and interesting to watch. He's giving a real performance. Yeah.
Wonderful.
All right. Listen, dear, we've got about four. Oh, we do have a very important follow-up. And then I think we should get straight to the episode.
You got it. Before we get there, askronacoffee.com for all your morning needs, your shades of V, your carriage house blend. Forget about Veen and Vint. It's a limited time and it's out of stock right now, except for Cynthia Dupree Sweeney.
Well, actually, I just gave a bag to Kate Arthur because I had a couple
of
bags that I kept.
That's right.
And I have one bag for Scarlett Curtis.
How fabulous was Kate Arthur?
Oh,
she's so fantastic.
Kate Arthur, I could talk to for the rest of my life.
She's wonderful.
I could sit there and talk. I felt so honored to have an hour set aside just to talk
to her. Wasn't that nice?
Yeah.
And of course, Negrana.com for all your nighttime needs, all your cocktails, all your this, all your foreplay, everything.
Yeah. Actually, I lied about the follow-up. It's a Patreon follow-up that's really important. So if people want to hear it, they'll have to come there. Yeah.
But enjoy this episode because it's a really fun one. And I have to say, it's not only hilarious, it's extremely informative. I feel like I've learned a lot.
Oh, yeah. It's a real sort of dialectic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This was great. And I hope people go see his show in New York ASAP. It sounds like it's sold out this run at the moment. And then there's another run coming. So it's all in there.
Yep.
All right, dear.
Kiss,
on
kiss.
On to Alex Edelman.
I can't wait. Rana, I have to tell you, finding and booking a doctor who's right for me is generally not a fun experience.
No, it's hard. You have to do all that research.
You have to hope you can get on their calendar in the next month.
Ugh. And are they any good? Are they any good?
Will they take your insurance? Will they understand your needs? Will they be available when you can see them? Well, With ZocDoc, the answer is refreshingly pain-free. Yes, ZocDoc is a free app that shows you doctors who are patient-reviewed, that take your insurance and are available when you need them. I needed a dermatologist in a pinch runner. I didn't have time to wait for 2 weeks for an issue. Guess what? I went right on ZocDoc and I got what I needed.
Is that right?
Yeah. And by the way,
your issue has been resolved beautifully.
Beautifully. And you can either book an appointment in person or use telehealth. In fact, ZocDoc's a free app that shows you doctors who are patient-reviewed, that take your insurance and are available when you need them. You can read up on local doctors. You can get verified patient reviews, see what other humans have to say about their visit. So that way, when you walk into the doctor's office, you're set up to see someone in your network who gets you. Go to ZocDoc.com. Wonderful. Choose a time slot and whether you want to see the doctor in person or do a video visit, it's up to you. Just like that, you're booked. So find the doctor that's right for you and book an appointment that works for your schedule.
Every ZocDoc.com/AskRana, isn't it?
Yeah, /AskRana. It's that easy. And download the ZocDoc app for free. Then start your search for a top-rated doctor today. Many are available within 24 hours every month. Millions of people use ZocDoc. I'm one of them. In the chaotic world of healthcare, let ZocDoc be your trusted guide to find a quality doctor in a way that's surprisingly pain-free. Get your docs in a row with ZocDoc. That's ZocDoc.com/AskRana. ZocDoc.com/AskRana.
Brian.
Rana.
I noticed your hair is looking thick and luxurious.
Listen, it's not the only thing that... It is, Rana, and I appreciate that very much. My hair is become mane. And by that, I mean it's thicker, fuller, healthier. 80 million men and women in the U.S. experience thinning hair, yet it's still not openly talked about, which is a shame. We should talk about it. We're going to right now.
Normalize thinning hair.
Correct, because it can be very stressful. It can be even scary.
True.
And the sort of stigma of it, and they're not talking about it, just adds to the problem.
Yeah.
I use Nutrafol. You want to know why, Rana?
Because it's fantastic.
It's fantastic. It's proven to work, and it's formulated with potent botanicals to help your hair grow as strong as you are. And it's physician formulated to be 100% drug free.
And does it work? Yes, Padma.
Yes, it's natural. It uses botanicals. It deals with whole body health even. And on top of thicker, stronger hair without lasers and without chemicals, Nutrafol's ingredients may also help you get a handle on better sleep, stress response, skin, nails. A little thing I like to call libido.
What?
Libido.
Oh.
Visit Nutrafol.com and take their hair wellness quiz for customized product recommendations that put the power to grow thicker, stronger hair back in your hands. When you subscribe, you'll receive monthly deliveries so you never have to miss a dose. Shipping's free. You can pause or cancel anytime. Does it work? Yeah, it does. In clinical studies, Nutrafol saw thicker, stronger hair growth with less shedding in 3 to 6 months.
And you've seen it yourself, haven't you?
Of course I have. Yeah. Whether you're experiencing thinning or not, you deserve hair as strong as you are. Nutrafol can help you achieve your hair growth naturally. You can grow thicker, healthier hair and support our show by going to Nutrafol.com and using promo code Brian.
With a Y.
Thank you. To save $15 off your first month's subscription.
Wow.
This is the best offer available anywhere, and it's only available to U.S. customers for a limited time. Plus, Rana, free shipping on every order.
Wow.
So get $15 off. I use Nutrafol. That's why this is good. Get $15 off at Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code Brian, Brian, for hair as strong as you are.
Fabulous. Attention Carriage House members, Rana here to tell you all about Anchor.fm. Anchor is the fabulous app that we use to create our podcast. And let me tell you something. You can use it to create a podcast of your own. It's totally free. They have these terrific creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer, if you're that sort of person. I have a staff, excuse me. And now you can even add any song from Spotify directly to your episodes, which is pretty fabulous. The possibilities are totally endless. So download the free Anchor app now or go to anchor.fm to get started today.
kiss, kiss.
Wait a minute.
Rana.
I have a lot to say today. You know me. I've been in a snit all week about everything.
You really have. Something.
And now I've got to deal with the new operating system on Apple. I don't want to talk about it. Focus. Oh,
that metronome was driving her crazy.
Tell them to focus instead of me. I can't. I'm focused. I knew where the do not disturb button was. Now they're going to move it around so that I can have more layers to telling my computer what I'm up to so it can understand my day part better and how I want to spend my time.
Just so everyone knows, this isn't an episode we pre-recorded 6 months ago. Rana's just finding out about the focus feature.
Well, this is why I don't update my operating system.
I don't blame
systems.
You, actually. It's always
I don't
a
need
nightmare.
To relearn how to walk every 3 months. Thank you very much.
How about I talk into my microphone? How about that?
Our guest today.
Yeah.
Here I was. You talk about how recent this is. Here I was last night flipping through a hot, fresh.
Wow.
Copy. Where's this going?
Of the New Yorker. My New Yorker arrived.
Love it.
And I said to myself, I had been out. I took it with me to Los Angeles. I went to Cynthia Dupree's book
event
in Los Angeles last night.
Ron,
I don't really want to talk about this with you because you said you were going to be there and then you weren't there.
I thought it was
this weekend. And I flew all the way out there. And there I was. And I felt like an absolute heel. I had no date. I had no walker.
It's Alex Edelman's here today. I'm Ronna's walker, which I'm proud to be.
Yes.
But I didn't realize, Ronna, you could have just shot me a text saying like, hey, are you going tonight? You're going, right?
When
but
you
I guess
say
I
you're
going
to be somewhere and you give me a hard time about it, I expect to see you there.
But I, or is, okay, fine, Ronna.
In you know, any
guys,
event,
not
here
in front
I
of the
was.
Kids. Not in front
now,
of the kids.
Now
finally,
I'm in a
I got back to my hotel room. I was flipping through.
I keep on wanting to think that you're going to say burgers when you say
yeah, I was flipping burgers in my hotel room. I was flipping through a fresh copy of the New Yorker, and what, lo and behold, there was a 2-page review of Alex Edelman's show.
Alex.
And we are so finger on the pulse that we've got him here the next day.
I can't actually think of a bigger compliment than the New Yorker writing 2 pages about somebody. I'm not even kidding.
Very impressive. Alex, dear, and you're from Brookline.
I'm from Brookline. No one's perfect, but Brookline.
What's the vibe
depends
of
on which part of Brookline.
What's the vibe of Brookline?
Pretty nice.
At least it's not Chestnut Hill. No. The vibe of Brookline, it's good. It's like it's very much a Bostonian. It's Boston. It's like
is
Boston.
That's where Conan's from, right? Brookline.
Conan's also
yes.
from Brookline.
Yeah,
Conan's from Brookline. John Hodgman's from Brookline. JFK is from Brookline.
Got it.
So many Brooklinians.
By way of Dorchester.
Right.
Or
by way of
Jamaica
the Prohibition.
Plain or this or that. Yeah.
Right.
By way of a Seagram's truck.
Wow. Good yeah. knowledge. Good knowledge. Wow.
So Alex, you have COVID. What's going on, dear? You poor thing. I would never have made
COVID.
You do this if I had known.
No, this is a nice respite from COVID. This is
what can you tell us about the COVID? How long have you had it? How are you feeling? What's the situation?
I tested negative on Saturday. Today's Thursday. Not to blow up any continuity issues, but
don't worry about it.
Oh yeah, we don't know.
Today's Thursday. I got it on. I think I tested on Saturday. I was negative. I tested on Sunday. I was positive. Positive. Mm. Positive, baby. And I lost my sense of taste on Tuesday. It came back.
Did?
But it came back yesterday, which is so weird.
Oh,
so
that was supposed
today.
I thought because
that can take
go
months
for weeks.
Apparently, yeah.
I thought it was supposed to go for a long time, but I can taste everything.
That's good.
Or maybe I can. Or maybe it's diminished, and maybe I smell horrific. But my sense of taste and smell are largely back.
Do you have any taste sensitivities, i.e., like how cilantro tastes like soap to some people? Because I wondered if you would have tried something like that while you didn't have taste to see if you would still taste that sense.
Mm-hmm. That is really good. Shall I go get some cilantro out of my?
Do you taste it like soap? I do.
I don't. Does it?
If you have
does
it
really
in the kitchen,
taste like
then
soap?
You don't.
Yeah,
I don't
to
mind
to some people.
Yeah.
Well, I cursed a lot as a kid, so for me, the taste of soap is
it's very, very literal.
They used to wash your mouth out.
Yeah, I'm making a joke.
Where are we finding you? What city are we finding you in?
You're finding me in New York City.
So your show is on at the moment, not on at the moment, coming back for a command performance. What's going on? Because it was in the New Yorker this week, and it would be disappointing if it was in the New Yorker and it wasn't on.
It's on. I've taken a week off. I've taken a week off because of COVID, so that week is being rescheduled for the end of the month. And we haven't told anybody yet, but this is exclusive.
Breaking news.
Oh, we love this.
Oh, we get exclusives on this show all the time.
We are going to move to the Barrow Street. Oh, no. Now it's called Greenwich House. The Greenwich House Theater, the Barrow Street Theater.
Oh, it's a wonderful theater.
It's gorgeous. June 13th for 6 weeks.
My bat mitzvah. And so
those are all really?
My bat mitzvah June.
That's really Rana.
That's why we decided. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Alex, Rana, what was your theme? Or did they not do that back then?
Well, my theme was beautiful. Beauty and elegance was my theme.
Got it.
My upbringing was so traditional, my theme was Judaism.
Is that true?
How many sets of Shabbat candlesticks did you get for your bar mitzvah?
Shabbat candlesticks? None, but we got four Kiddush cups.
Oh, not bad.
Very nice.
Not bad. A decent haul. Looked like a pirate's table.
So wait a minute. You were raised modern Orthodox, is that right?
Oh, that's right.
And are you still observant? Do you still go to synagogue, etc.?
Yeah, I'm still observant. I'm different than I was when I was younger.
Yeah.
I'm more observant, in some ways I'm less. I put on my little tefillin every day. They're around here somewhere.
Oh, do you?
They're over there, yeah. I put on my tefillin and I get a Shabbos blessing from my father. Every Friday, you know.
You wash your hands?
I wash, not before every meal. I don't say blessings before every bite of food, but you know, like I live a modern Orthodox life. So
why the tefillin?
Like Ivanka.
Ivanka used to go to the shul that I went to.
There we go.
I don't care for them very much.
But she is right. She and Jared are modern Orthodox, right? I think so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No shadel.
No shadel. I wouldn't, you know. Also, I've dated non-Jews. The whole thing is my girlfriend at the moment is Jewish and wonderful, but was raised less religious than me. It's a whole thing.
And it's a whole Megillah, as they say, Alex.
My bar mitzvah was the Megillah. I read the whole Megillah.
Did you really? Mitzvah,
the entire damn thing.
How long is it?
Like 40 minutes, 45 minutes?
The whole Megillah.
The whole dang Megillah.
What day was the bar mitzvah that you read the Megillah?
My bar mitzvah, it was Purim.
Yeah, I was going to say it would have to be.
It was actually Purim. My bar mitzvah was on Purim.
Wait a minute. Your bar mitzvah was on Purim, but they still made Judaism the theme? They wouldn't even let the kids wear a costume?
I was going to say, on Purim, you could wear a costume, right?
Everyone wore a costume apart from me.
You just went as the, well, you went as the bar mitzvah boy.
I went as a man, and my costume as a man.
Did you have it at the temple? Where did you have it?
Oh, yeah, it was at the temple.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then a little lunch for my grandparents' house afterwards. Nothing fun. No awards. You know, sometimes you're like, am I bat mitzvah? We gave out awards. We gave out the...
No kids party, no cake ceremony, none of that.
No, well, no lighting candles.
That's really reform
bullshit.
Conservative stuff. Yeah.
Yes.
That's really, yeah.
The people that want
Judaism to be fun. Yeah. Those are those people. Yeah. The people that don't take it seriously enough.
Mm-hmm.
What are you, Rana?
Alex...
I've never asked you.
Outperform conservative.
Okay.
Both conservative, I guess you could say, but I've done a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
Oh boy.
I'm the type they don't like. I'm the type that thinks Judaism's a buffet, or whatever they like to say to people that aren't religious enough.
Culturally Jewish. Yeah.
Alex, talk to us about the run of the show a little bit. And then we're going to get into what the show's really about, which is not you. It's about the people that write in.
Oh, no, no. I'm aware. I've listened. Scarlett Curtis, good friend of mine. I've listened to...
Scott Curtis.
Oh, really? Maybe you could pass a note. What are we mad at her about this week, Rana? Did we decide?
Well, took her forever. She pretended to order the Girl Scout cookies.
Oh, that's right.
And then she did order them.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
She pretended to order. She's like a saint on earth. What's the...
Why don't you ask her?
Oh, Alex, I didn't know you had... Yeah.
Yeah,
I didn't realize that you had the same experience with her that we did, because it still traumatizes me.
All right, let me text her. What are we upset at her about?
We don't need to
text her. We're in direct communication, dear. We're also in the middle of a program.
All right, fine. Well, you said you ask her, and I said, fine. I took that CTA,
why don't you
call
ask
to action.
Her, you know, look, You're not 17. Why don't you ask her? It doesn't mean it has to happen that minute like it does for kids that are 17. Why don't you ask her means why don't you speak to her when you're done doing what you're supposed to be doing, which is this program.
Fine. I'll tell you about my show. I'll tell you about my show.
And she That's would be horrified want. That you wanted to text her in the middle of the program.
Yeah, because
look,
also
he's got a copy of the New Yorker sitting
I
right
went out
there.
And bought, I went out and bought it today. I haven't even read the thing yet. I swear to God.
You only
I
bought would, one?
I
feel like when something like that happens, you have to buy like 50.
No.
Are people telling you it was a good review or a bad review?
People are telling me it's a very good review. So I will read it. The issue with, I try very hard not to read reviews, good or bad, because you don't want to develop bad habits to try to lean into something or to lean away from
right,
something.
Right, meaning to be a pleaser.
Never a good idea.
Yeah.
Be a pleaser of the people.
Speaking of pleasers, what this show is about, people write in. They're desperate. They have nowhere else to turn. They send us their real questions, and we give them real advice. And
Wait,
that's
I tell
what
you
do.
About my? Should I tell you about my show first?
Okay, but give like... it you know, like, briefly though, because they can read the All New right. York if they want to know about your show.
Okay, the show's is a comedy show. I went to this meeting of white nationalists in Queens, and then after about an hour, one of them was like, "Sorry, but this guy's a Jew," and I was like, "Yeah, this guy's a Jew." And then like that's the and the show is sort of about that, but there are a lot of jokes and stuff like that, and it's run since December. It was supposed to be 3 weeks of the Cherry Lane, but we've been going, and today we put those new dates on sale. So that's
it's very exciting. Yeah,
it's been good. Billy Crystal came, and Jerry Seinfeld came. The guy who played Jerry on Seinfeld, he came to the show. And,
okay, sure. White so sneakers.
White sneakers, but yeah, he was. But so a lot of Jews have. And comedy people have come, which is nice.
But you started doing it in 2018, is that right? And you've been sort of developing it. Did you ever do it at Edinburgh? No,
I did. The Edinburgh was where I sort of Edinburgh and Melbourne are the two places that I sort of developed it the hardest, and those are my favorite places to do comedy.
And now, and do you live in New York or Los Angeles?
I live betwixt the two. Like every time I get settled in one spot, it's time to go to the other spot. So I have a place
in both places or no?
I have a place in both places.
Very nice.
Nice for you. Have you ever been to San Clemente?
Brian had a question.
Have you ever been to San Clemente?
No, but I'm a fan of his career with the Pirates. Okay. No, what's San Clemente? Oh, San Clemente is...
It's well. California. I drove through it today, and I was just wondering if you would ever.
Isn't that where the Nixon Library is?
Yes, it's near.
Oh, I thought it was in Whittier. Is that the same thing?
No, it's.
I
not.
Think he's from
Whittier's
Whittier.
That's where he's from. He's. You're right. Yeah. He's from Whittier.
Yeah.
The
San and you're Clemente. Also very friendly with Hannah Einbender, who we.
She's
like.
My. She's my girlfriend. So yes.
Oh, she is.
Oh.
Yeah, for 2 years.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Now I feel. I feel I just was spending time with her just the other week. She didn't mention you.
No, okay. Well, look, I wouldn't have brought it up if you didn't say you're very friendly with Hannah Einbender. I was like, yeah.
That is very funny. She did not mention you. You'll have to mention to her. You'll have to talk to her. Not right now. Maybe after the show and bring up the idea that you
hold
didn't
on, face
that it wasn't
Hannah,
mentioned.
No. Sorry, my phone is on focus. I don't know if I can use it right now.
I did not realize that you were boyfriend and girlfriend. That's fabulous. She's a terrific girl. Terrific.
She is the absolute best. Where were you guys hanging out?
You know, I'm very friendly.
You went to Bubba Gump, right?
Bubba Gump shrimp, but she's thought the shrimp was tripe, so she just ate vegetarian while we were there.
That's really funny.
Bubba Gump.
Did we say that Alex's show was called Just For Us? Did we say that?
We didn't say a thing.
Okay. Well, it is. It's called Just For Us.
And, okay, so listen
just,
to
what? Google it for tickets or just
where should people go?
It's on my Instagram, it's on my Twitter, and you can just it's also justforusshow.com is a place to go.
Terrific.
But. Perfect.
Well, we're definitely gonna check that out in New York. That's for sure. And I'm sending Jordan, my son, who's gonna absolutely love it, I'm sure. I wanna know this.
No,
did you feel threatened at all?
Sorry.
When you went to the meeting, did you feel threatened?
Not really. There was a moment where I was a little bit scared, but it's like bears, you know, they were more afraid of me than I was. Because I think one of them was like, are you in law enforcement? And I was like, no. But
they thought you were fed.
They thought very highly of themselves, which I think is extremely extremely, I think you have funny.
To. I mean, because you basically have to shut everything else out and be so confident in yourself to really have a viewpoint like that, right?
Yeah, they. I also think that they have their own narrative of things, and they exist on a social media. They have a social media platform that is so different. They use Telegram, Parler, Gab, Whisper. Mm-hmm. Twitter is sort of passe for them because they keep getting suspended.
Yeah. Right?
So this is a very but I'm on the hate. I'm on the hate sites now too.
It seems to me though that their importance comes from, well, this is ironic, I suppose, but their importance comes from their sense of persecution. And so they feel that they've been thrown off Twitter, they've been thrown off this, they've been thrown off that. We must have something that people feel must be that's special that people feel threatened.
Well, and not to mention just having a viewpoint of our small group is right and everyone else is wrong.
But I mean, when that you takes meet a them lot in of person, delusion. Does it feel that way or does it just feel like a kind of bunch of losers?
It feels like they're speaking. Well, a bunch of losers is closer to where you think, but it also feels like I interact a lot with anti-Semites on the internet. Like they seek me out. I'm also curious about it. And so I engage sometimes when people write me.
Yeah.
And they're speaking a different language. They think that like, they don't just feel persecuted. They feel persecuted like with intent. They feel like their Jews are lying awake at night being like, how do we get these, you know, how do we get these people? So like people write me things with the idea that like, all Jews have some sort of thing in common.
The conspiracy of it all.
Yeah, but, even if they don't use that word, they
but
they
do. But do you feel that they are doing the inverse? Do you think they actually... Obviously, the fear as a Jew is that people are lying awake at night thinking, how do we get rid of them? And it's not an irrational fear because it's been going on for thousands of years. But my question is, the people that you interacted with, do you think that their anti-Semitism is... merely this narrative that they've told themselves about Jews coming after them? Or do you think they are actually actively thinking about how to eradicate Jewish people from their lives? Do they know any Jewish people?
In some cases, some of them don't. In some cases, some of them do. Mm-hmm. I know, in Queens. In some cases, some of them do. And I don't... I've never met... So, by the way, everyone thinks they're reasonable. So like, yeah. I don't know. I haven't met anyone who's like, let's just say what needs to be done. Let's go out there and like start loading them onto, you know, mass transport to like, everyone thinks that they're like, hey, you know, I want to live and let live, but the Jews, they want to change the society. They want to, you know, change. So no, I've interacted online with a couple people that are, I would say violent or express violent thoughts, but like, you know, someone wrote me a message a couple of weeks ago. Here, do you mind if I read it? It was really, really...
Unless it's from Scarlett Curtis.
No. Her hate is much more specifically directed.
she does seem miserable, doesn't she?
Oh, yeah.
She's
such a little bright little light.
She's the best.
World.
We love her.
She's so amazing.
Like, all we want to do is hang out with her.
Well, that was really the complaint. She invited us for raclette, and that has not come together yet.
Oh, right. That is the complaint.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I misheard you for a second, but this person just wrote me. The first thing they wrote me is this word, you know.
Okay, sure.
Oh, yikes. Okay.
So it's a...
That's the opening salvo of the conversation.
Yeah, and I
K-I-K-E. I'll just say that. Yeah.
And I wrote, I mean, that's not going to hurt my feelings the way you think it might. And the guy wrote, and his feed is filled with, you know, like, vitriol, bad stuff.
Yeah.
And he wrote, right, I'm sorry. Honestly, that was uncalled for. But was that not a Zionist synagogue? This is after, like, the synagogue thing in Texas in middle of January.
Horrible, yeah.
And we have this whole conversation at the end.
A Zionist synagogue. What does it even mean? Yeah.
I know. It's so stupid. But he wrote, after some thinking on this, you're right. I swear I'm not hateful, just angry. You know, like, these guys,
Well, also like, just
I just say anytime I've ever gotten attention, yeah. anytime I've ever gotten any hate online, I usually just say something like, which was your favorite Avengers? And then they tell me as if nothing had happened. And I'm like, okay, as if nothing had happened. They're like, oh, da-da-da. And I was like, oh yeah, I liked that one, but I kind of like this one better. They were like, no, I see your point. I mean, every time, that's just my go-to question. It's pretty great because everyone just gets off the topic. It's crazy.
That is so funny. Yeah.
They just don't experience as, you know, like the issue with everything being online is that a lot of this hatred, you know, I have a thought that sometimes I go, maybe I shouldn't say this out loud, but there is part of me that's like, man, if we didn't have obviously the internet radicalizes people, but in my experience, I've met people who've said some really horrible things online and then I meet them in person and they are like, it's so different. So I think the internet has turned the volume way up. And I think in reality, most people, maybe this is me being extremely naive and optimistic. I think most people are like frustrated and scared and sad and feel persecuted. I feel like it's that way all over.
No, it's about powerlessness. And so this is just a cat. Honestly, it's that's what anti-Semitism has been about in different forms for a long time, whether
people
before the internet, after the internet, mm-hmm. but people that are powerless or feel that they don't have a foothold in society. And this is a catch-all that everyone of their ilk can relate to, which is these people are different than us. So let's find someone to crap on or to live in relief from.
And this idea
and that
giving,
we don't know, they're different.
That giving someone something means that it's being taken away from you. That's such a thing.
Yeah.
And it's also such a thing in this country of just like by design of the system of just, I want more than you. That's just the theme of it, you know?
Right. That it's a pie and everybody has to get a piece of it as opposed to, yeah.
Also, there's new identity. Also, persecution is currency now. So people want that, you know, people feeling persecuted is part of an identity and people crave identity. And so some people who aren't really persecuted, you know, are eager to seek out the feeling of persecution.
And time marches on. I mean, you look at the footage from the thing about January 6th is that as terrifying as the concept of it is and this idea of a coup taking place on American soil that no one thought that was possible, which is why it was possible, et cetera, et cetera. But then you look at that horrible footage, but of the people wandering the halls of the Capitol, and you just think, look at these sad, aimless, powerless, I don't want to say disenfranchised because it makes it sound like they don't have a vote, but in their every single person in that lineup, you think to yourself, if you put their whole family together, they're on the outside of the family portrait. Every person was a black sheep in that whole crowd. And none of them knew, thank God, because they weren't organized. And that's not to say that there weren't people that were trying to organize. But it's pathetic. It's very sad, but it's dangerous. And that's what Nazism was too, is that everybody felt like a big loser after World War I and they needed a way. And it's sort of what's going on now with Russia too. People thinking, you know, I don't want to speak about the Russian citizens because it's hard to know how they really feel because then we don't know how informed they really are about what's going on. And we don't have access to that, you know, really to a way to understand what they understand, et cetera, et cetera. But it's scary, scary stuff when it's left unchecked.
It's very scary.
Yeah.
Very.
In any event, you know what's really scary is some of these questions we have. Ryan,
yeah.
You want to read this first terrifying question?
Oh my God, Ron, I would truly
it's so
love
scary.
To. Okay, I'm ready.
It is a little scary. It is a little bit of a nightmare.
Dear Ronna, Brian, and dynamic guest, Alex. What about that? I want to start by saying the two of you have helped me through some of the toughest times in my life. There is probably no one I quote more than Ronna Glickman. Your curiosity and observational nature speak to me in ways I relate to. You know what? Odds are.
Yeah.
Speak to me in ways I relate to like no other. Now on to the advice I desperately need. My oldest son, I have two, 25 and 19. This is a grown-up. And his girlfriend revealed they are pregnant.
25 and 19. Okay. Yeah.
To say they are ill-equipped is a gross understatement. just logistically, their living situation is very unstable. She doesn't have a job, a car, or driver's license, and refuses to get two of the three, job and license. Ugh.
So she has a car? Or doesn't refuse to get a car? I don't really get that either, actually.
She refuses to get two. Oh, I guess she's basically, yeah, I'll get a car, but I'm not going to do the job or the license. Okay. Wow. He has a single cab pickup truck. They have an untrained puppy that is very mouthy and likes to chew on your hand. They also refuse to get training for said puppy. I mean, really, oh, that's God, probably the last of these issues.
A mouthy puppy.
Yeah, I like that. I picture her with like a little, you know, Mae West hat or something.
Yeah.
I've offered to pay. I hope it's a pug with like a Mae West vibe. I have offered to pay for training several times. They're both total slobs and major potheads. Of course. The pot may have something to do with their laziness. It certainly does.
Are we still talking about the pregnancy? Like,
Oh, good question. Is she smoking while she's pregnant? Good question. Despite this, he is actually a lovely human in his soul. He is kind, generous, and loving.
Right. My son's perfect.
It's her. She, on the other hand, is, to put it bluntly, a terrible person. Yeah. She's a narcissist of the highest order, and I, as well as others, believe that she's also abusive. I've tried for the last few years to bring her into the fold and form some sort of connection with her to no avail. She's miserable and has no problem spreading that misery to whomever she
comes. How old is the girl?
19.
So over the last few years?
We don't know how old the girlfriend is, actually.
She has a son who's 19 and a son who's 25. Okay.
Right. So the oldest son's 25.
The girlfriend's 25.
20s? Yeah.
Yeah.
I've tried. She's miserable and has no problem spreading that misery to whoever she comes into contact with. She's impatient, totally lacks self-awareness, and just is overall not a good person. Every time I think of my first grandchild being born into this situation, I feel sick. I feel sick for my son, who will now be attached to this woman forever. I've no doubt if he ever did try to leave, that she would wield that child like a weapon. I want to be supportive, but I truly don't know how. I fear for everyone involved. This is sad. I have a pit in my stomach since he told me the news. For a bit of background, I had him when I was 17. I met my current husband 3 years later, and he adopted him. I know what it is to have a child you are not ready for. I know what it is to ache for this little life you brought into a world unprepared. I know what it is to have to learn in real time to put yourself aside for the better of another. But I was far more emotionally stable and mature than either my son or his girlfriend. What do I do? How do I get over my own feelings of dread and support my son and future grandchild? I've never been at such a loss in my life. I'm a very roll with the punches kind of person, and this situation has brought me to my knees. Thank you both so much for your time. Kiss, kiss. I guess I'll say her name. It doesn't say not to. Alicia.
Last name? No, just kidding.
Yeah.
Silverstone.
Exactly. No, she's going to marry her son probably.
Bear.
Yeah.
Alex, dear, what do you think? It's a tough situation.
As a grandfather, what's your take?
Listen. Listen. These are adults, and it's not, you can't do anything. You can't, like, this is not a 16-year-old and a 16-year-old. This is not a 18-year-old and an 18-year-old. These are two grown adults. And if you disapprove, they don't need your, you know. So here's the question. Do you want to be right or do you want to be effective? If you want to be right, then maybe you can say all the stuff that you've said. If you want to be effective, you can try to help. And trying to help means maybe ameliorate, you know, don't say to him, hey, don't go all in on this. It's terrifying. Like, he's all in. He's got this girl pregnant. They're pregnant together. You know, they want to have this baby. They're going to have this baby. You know firsthand how scary it is to do this. If you go, well, I was totally equipped. Think back to when you were actually 17 and pregnant. Did you feel equipped? Did you feel like you were, you know, going to be perfectly fine? I bet you that your unwed, your in-sin daughter-in-law is feeling the exact same way. So to use millennial parlance, try to hold space. Try to hold some space for this bebe and her bebe. And I think you have to try to help out your son, and you can have frank conversations with him, but it should be prefaced with, I am here for you for whatever you need, and dot, dot, dot. So that's, I don't know. That's my,
it's great.
That's, I think that's my hot take, but also it's not like, sometimes I see questions and sometimes I hear questions in the Sandra, in the episode you guys did with Sandra a few weeks ago, I heard a question and I was like, the Aisha Chayil, thing.
Yeah.
Remember mm-hmm. they? It was like, well, some of these things, like, the it's flowed. It's really, it's not about the other people. It's about you. Like, you're the only thing that you can do right now that's going to help is be supportive and try to be engaged and part of the mechanism, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I think the issue actually here is that you are re-experiencing what happened to you when you were 17. I don't yes. really think this has too much to do with them. It has to do with your identity and how your identity is shifting as a result of this situation, which is that you had had your kids young. You're young. Your son's 25.
Yeah.
So you're
in your 40s?
Some quick math, Brian. What's that?
42.
Very young.
Yeah.
To be a grandmother.
Some people are still having babies at the age of 42.
Yeah.
And I think that this woman spent a lot of time reestablishing herself after what could be perceived as a mistake. Meaning sure. she had kids early, not, let's call it a derailment of a trajectory as opposed to a mistake. Meaning mm-hmm. if I could do it again, would I have had a kid at 17? No, I might have waited till I was dot, dot, dot. 25 mm-hmm. or whatever, 30, whatever the story is, she tells herself in her mind. And so it's interesting that she mentions that she was alone for 3 years and then had this fabulous stepfather that came, and that was part to me. Again, this is just my shtetl clairvoyance. What do I know? She'd have to answer, but this is how I feel about it. Well, this is what I'm getting. That she sees that as a correction of the path that she was on. I was a single mother for 3 years, then I met a great guy, and I gave my kids this terrific life with this great guy who also was part of their family, was their father, et cetera, et cetera. And now my son, who I perceive to be much younger than he is making the same mistake I made at 25 and is with a terrible partner, just like I was clearly with a terrible partner because
right.
that didn't work out. And I'm going to be a grandmother and I'm basically 40. So how did this happen? I was supposed to get to wait till I was 50 and be back on the regular course correction as I hoped to be. And so this is your identity that, and you know, as Alex said so astutely, think back, you've been in his shoes. You've been this person. Did you want every person in your life telling you how to raise your child and what to do and which bouncer to buy and which t-shirt to put them in and da, da, da? Everyone has to have their own experience. And the only thing you can do, if she's a terrible person and this thing's going to blow up, it's going to blow up when it blows up.
Yeah.
And obviously that's your fear, is that he's going to be left stranded the same way that you were for those 3 years. And then, you know, the heavens dropped the stepfather on the situation. And isn't ever, you know, that's how you see it, as this wonderful, life-changing, magical thing that happened to your family. But guess what? You're the grandmother. You're the person who is standing there to catch him if anything should happen. But you don't have to catch him before he falls.
I would
say,
does that
make any sense?
Yes. And I would also say, like, on that note, like, the only person that you should really be super concerned about is this grandchild who could potentially grow up in a very volatile home, even if it's from 0 to 2. Who knows how long this yes. relationship is going to last.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But that is the thing that you need to create for your grandchild yeah. is stability. Total love, total stability, total safety. And the last thing you want to do, because grandparents don't have rights, that mother has every opportunity she wants to say, oh, you can't see her today. Oh, you can't see her next week. Oh, you can't see her in 2 weeks. She does.
Excellent point.
I would say you have got to play as nice as possible and be the most loving, charming, perfect person for that baby who is probably going to grow up with a mother at least. And, you know, I know you don't want to admit it, but a father who's allowing it. And you just got to really play it smooth and right, because this baby will come to you and will need you at some point. You've got to just be the loving space. The more love on this kid, the better. I would also say, ignore all of that if they're getting high in front of a kid. You know what I mean? If like, if there's a reason to call CPS, you should.
If you're getting high.
But don't call CPS because you're mad at them. I don't think you would. But just don't, you have to, if you, that would be a last resort to do if things were really
out of
hand.
Do you want to be right or do you want to be effective? I think that's an excellent mantra for this. I really do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you just got
to. I never thought Alex would have a half an answer to this. So I was happy to see that.
You just got to.
I love these, you know.
You like The Moral Dilemma.
Listen to the show.
You're a Yeshiva guy.
I love the Silpa episode.
Mitch Silpa's the best.
Yeah, I think I was out that episode, right? Yeah.
Oh, I don't remember.
Uh-huh. I think you liked the one I wasn't on.
But you're a Yeshiva guy. We talk about Judaism quite a bit on this show.
I love a machlokes. What is that? Argument. Oh. It's a Hebrew word or an Aramaic word that means argument. Argument or a discourse.
An argument in terms of disagreeing with another person. You mean
I like that too, because argument.
Yes, but let's tease it out.
Hannah's always telling me
you like
me
a salon.
1,000%.
Who doesn't? I do too.
Well, Hannah is always like, just so you know, not everybody wants to argue. And the first time she said that to me, it was like, well, then how do they know how they feel?
I know. I'm like, sort of with
so
you.
It's so foreign to me. She's like, Alex, not everybody wants to argue. And I'm like, well, then how do they know their position is sound? Mm-hmm. Like, you have to argue so that you can, you know, so that you can figure out where you stand and like
but
be
you
pushed
don't
on things.
Always have to change other people's minds, Alex.
No, that's true. I've learned that. But, you know, it's you owe it to yourself to try also.
Yeah. Well,
I think so.
Sometimes. Make some choices about what.
The only real way I think you can change someone's mind is if you're mid making love and they're very vulnerable and you just say like, hey, will you just do me a favor? And then I'll finish you off.
Vote Republican.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Right.
Look, we need a cheaper public option.
And then you just whisper cilantro in the ear.
And then they love it. Yeah.
First of all, one, you should get tested after this. Two, it should be free.
Definitely.
I want to say one more thing to this mother, which is give everyone in this situation the gift of you getting a little bit of therapy around this. And if you already have a therapist,
great idea.
That's right. Fine, but you need to bring this to the forefront in those conversations. And you need to say, and this again, this is not, you're not doing anything wrong, but the anxiety that you're describing is absolutely, and by the way, God bless you for being so worried about your son and his happiness, et cetera, et cetera. But they are living their own lives, and you have to figure out how to put away your own flashbacks or ideas or et cetera about your identity as a single mother and a young mother. And you have to allow them to have their experience. And you also have to, because as Brian was saying, and as Alex was saying, you need to figure out when something's really wrong and you need to intervene, or whether you just want to intervene because you don't like the way it's going.
Yeah.
And so, by settling that in your own mind, you will have such your judgment will be so much more sound in those moments where you say, you know what? There's something going on in that house and I want the baby can come here for 5 days or what, or she can sleep here on Saturday nights if they want to go out but whatever. If you really feel there is neglect, this, that, but allow this young girl the benefit of the doubt in terms of transformation.
I was about to say, like, she is going to get a wake-up call. Maybe. Who knows? You can only hope that some of that narcissism disappears once she brings life into this world.
Yeah, she's going to be obsessed with the baby, maybe. Who knows? Or she's going to say, ugh, I wish I didn't do this. And guess what? She's going to be delighted to leave the baby at your house.
Absolutely,
Okay, next question. But please, please, please let us know. And we do have nothing but compassion for you.
Of course.
It's
that's a really sad
situation. Hard situation.
Yeah.
But you've got however many months to get into this.
But also not necessarily sad. I mean, tough.
We just don't even know yet.
This could be the best thing that happens to the family in a long time.
Yeah.
I'm sure in a million.
A baby is a magical creature.
Yeah.
I'm sure in a million years you wouldn't want. I'm sure at 17 when you were pregnant, you were a little scared, even if you were very poised. But now you would in a million years take back the baby that you had at 17. I have friends who've been in relationships where they had unplanned twins that blew up spectacularly less than a year later. I had a friend who was pregnant with a girlfriend and 6 months into the pregnancy, they broke apart in spectacular fashion. And the couples are at each other's throats and still they love the kids more than anything
in the world,
than the grandparents. So it's so tough situation, but it's going to be a blessing.
And try to look at this as something to look forward to instead of as, again, this is just my shuttle clairvoyance, but instead of as a failing. Mm-hmm. I think she sees this as a personal failure that her son has chosen a bad partner and is having a baby at a young age.
Right. No. You
try
you
to see
don't
this as the
that.
Wonderful gift that it is. This kid's coming. So let's shower this kid with love and allow yourself the joy and also leave a little space for this girl to step into this a little bit. Mm-hmm. And you'd be shocked. You may not like her at all right now, but she might really appreciate some of your input on some of this.
Yeah.
So it could really transform your relationship. Let's just leave a little bit of the door open for the possibility of those things.
Yeah. And I would just say, like, try not to talk badly about her to your son
and never in front of a child ever. Yeah.
That's right.
But your son really doesn't want to hear it.
Yeah.
And he cognitively, honestly, he doesn't have the ability to hear it. This is the same. What happens around a baby is the same thing that happens around falling in love, which is no one wants to hear anything when they're in the thick of it.
Right.
And
tunnel vision.
And you just refocus
and
on the family
And anyone who says
unit.
Something to those people is an enemy, really.
And also, a man sees a woman with a baby, or a partner, I should say, sees whoever with a baby. And you just think, wow, that person is doing something that I can't do. And it is a miracle and it's magical. And it doesn't matter how terrible they are as a person. There is a wonder around it. Mm-hmm. And he will be very much caught up in that.
The one thing I would put my foot down on is she does need to give birth in the bathtub. That's also, the one thing I would say.
Absolutely no hair bows on a bald baby.
I would say that too.
And no photo shoots in a pumpkin, but Brian won't agree with me on that.
No, I won't. And don't unseed the pumpkin because it makes it more authentic.
Longtime listener. Hi, Ronna. Brian, B-R-Y, parentheses, capital Y, and parentheses,
they covered their bases.
All the options. Tony, Dante, Mimi, and Adam. Come on.
The whole gang.
How about guest?
Yeah.
Long time listener. First time caller. I love you all so much. Listening twice a week. Excuse me. Got me through a terrible job at a weed farm to now studying for hours in law school.
Honest to God, this is a trashy show. We're talking about marijuana twice, Ronna.
I do get so disappointed. When our fans tell us a little bit about themselves, I do get disappointed.
Yeah.
I, for one, think it is a crime that we don't have a Real Housewives of Boston starring Mrs. Glickman with Brian as a friend of.
I'm not going to be the friend of. I'll be the first male housewife. Okay.
Yeah. You'd be a terrific. You would be a great.
You'd be great, Brian.
Following you to tennis, everything.
Everything I do.
Mm-hmm. I hope you two can give levity to my situation. I am a shiksa in love with a nice Jewish boy. I have been dating my wonderful, sweet, and funny boyfriend for almost 5 years. We met in college in a Russian fairy tale class.
I would love to take that class.
Fabulous. Yeah, me too. And how relevant in this moment.
Yeah, right?
It used to be a Ukrainian fairy tale class, but after a long campaign.
Well, it was, then it wasn't, then it was, then it wasn't. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Very funny. And have been dating ever since. We share the same idea of what we want for our future. We have talked about getting married, having children, where we want to live, where we want to travel. He supported my decision to move over 1,000 miles to attend law school in New England. Our relationship is still as strong as it was when we lived together. Okay. They don't live together now. Okay.
Oh, okay.
We have both. Oh, I see. She's in Boston and he's not, I guess.
We
have both agreed that we are the person for one another and plan to get married when I finish law school. The rub is, I am not Jewish. My boyfriend was raised in a very religious Jewish household. Alex, you're going to have to raise your hand if this is you. He was raised kosher. Ms. Piggy would approve. His family had separate pots and plates and utensils for meat and dairy, and they really ate out at restaurants because they were not kosher. My boyfriend still keeps kosher, while the rest of the family, aside from his father, does not. His father, a successful businessman, never worked on the Sabbath. They went to temple every week. I can't believe we have Alex here tonight for this one. This is pretty good.
I have this is like right up his alley.
It really is.
My boyfriend and his family want him to marry a Jewish woman. Now, when they say my boyfriend and his family, that's an odd phrasing because it means...
It's a typo. It's a typo.
Yeah. Well, unless it means that he... Well, we're going to find out.
Well,
he
probably also the boyfriend really, and the parent and his parents and stuff. Right?
But maybe he really wants to marry someone who's Jewish, which is, I think, maybe where we're headed here in terms of
conversion. Oh, my boyfriend
and...
Oh, I see. I see. I see. I see.
My boyfriend and his family wanted to marry a Jewish woman. I would be lying if I said I wasn't worried that he may someday leave me for a proper Jewish woman. We have discussed the possibility of me converting. This is where my issue lies. I understand the gravity of what it would mean to convert. I understand the history that guides the decision. But am I willing to change my whole identity for a man? Question mark. And I couldn't help but wonder, am I the Charlotte York of my friend group? Put a pin in, am I willing to change my whole identity?
Yeah,
because
yeah.
Is that it your whole identity? But let's get back there. I grew up in the Lutheran church, which is just diet Catholic, except we keep our beliefs tucked way away and never bring it up. I am not a very religious person, but I still consider myself a Christian. Converting to Judaism would be no small task. Also, some Jewish people may not even recognize me or our future children as Jewish. Well, who cares about them? I mean, unless your kid wants to be the head rabbi of Israel, I think you're fine.
Unless they're paying your bills, don't pay them any mind.
And by the way, don't worry. They find a way to take the converts when they need them. When the army's running
when the numbers
low,
are down.
The kibbutz, yes, the kibbutz. Yeah, they find a way. Right. They say you can't join our thing, but you can fight in the army if you want to.
Right.
Yeah. I want our future children to be raised in the Jewish faith. Okay. But I find it difficult to accept the idea of changing myself for a man. Even if I converted, I would like to keep my faith. That means Christmas, I think. I would feel dishonest if I still chose to believe in what I was raised believing while technically being Jewish. I love my... This is a very Jewish line of discourse, Alex. Talking of the argument. She's already got this down. I love my boyfriend and want to grow old with him. Do I convert for the sake of the Jewish people and get over my own insecurities? Am I jumping the gun and worrying about this without even having a ring on a specific finger? Rana, as a flawless Jewish woman, I would love your perspective. Brian, I hope you tell me to buy a wig, book a plane ticket, and jet off to Budapest to start a new life to avoid this conflict.
That's A-plus advice right there.
Kiss, kiss, Molly, you can use my name.
Well, at least her name's not Christy.
Alex.
Well, Alex, yeah, you're the guy here.
As a Jewish man, I'm dying to hear what you have to say here. He doesn't think they're going to make it.
Well, here's the thing. I have been in this situation.
Sure, of course.
Were you serious about someone who wasn't Jewish?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I dated someone who wasn't Jewish for 4 years. And
how
you
not
know,
Jewish was she? This amount, a little more, a little less.
She wasn't religious. She was
agnostic or atheist.
She was agnostic or atheist or something, but she loved Judaism and found it culturally appealing, but you know, it wasn't, I can't be entirely privy to her interior life, but I will say that it is your choice whether or not you want to convert to Judaism. No one else can make that decision for you. And it should be one that if you decide to make, you can make, you know, you should try to, like, she's right. It is not an easy thing to convert to Judaism. And especially if you want to do it in a way that is thorough enough that you feel that it has, because sometimes people convert in a way that's easy in a more liberal branch of Judaism, liberal religiously, not politically. And they're insecure about it for the rest of their lives. They walk around with this concern that they're not really Jews. And And there, by the way, there are some people who undergo that same conversion and feel fine with the level of Judaism that they're at. Personally, I feel that if you've invested any sort of rigorous attempt at Judaism in your life, and consider yourself Jewish, then you're Jewish enough for me. That's how I feel. But it is also her boyfriend's right to have that boundary for himself and a partner. Like, I think that is truly, like, if you're, like, yeah, it's difficult.
What's so interesting here, though, is that they both seem, because people always say, like, well, have you talked about how you're going to raise the kids? Like, you know, that's the big issue. And what's interesting is that isn't an issue. It's a personal issue for her. That's what's so interesting about that. You don't hear that a lot, that she's like, I want the kids to be Jewish.
Well, it isn't.
Oh, really?
Because I totally agree with what you're saying. Part of the problem here, which is going to be an unpopular thing to say, but part of the problem here is youth and inexperience. Because you can't, they can have the conversation where they say, I want the kids to be Jewish. I want the kids to be, I'm fine with the kids being Jewish. That's fine. I care about the kids having a religion, and we both agree it's more important to you. And that's fine. Great. We all agree. And I don't mind having Jewish kids, and that's wonderful. But the problem is, without going through the conversion and being serious about the conversion, and I am speaking from the perspective of this guy, not everybody, just this guy.
Yeah.
So I don't want her to be confused into thinking, only going on the information she's given me. So again, I could be totally off base here. But the problem is, without going into the conversion with the right attitude and going through the right courses and this and that, she'll never be a Jewish wife and a Jewish mother.
That's
what he wants for his children. So it's not that I think, based on what I'm hearing here, meaning do the candles together, the Friday night, this and that. There are people who they convert, and that's plenty for them. We're going to have Friday night dinner. Sounds good to me. Can we make sure the kids have a bar mitzvah? Absolutely. And everybody is happy with that level. But this guy keeps kosher. And I think he's concerned about these covenants that he has with God and his religion. And unless she is serious about that, that's really the conversation they have to have. How Jewish do I need to be for you?
Right. That it's not so, it's not the kind of Judaism that, or conversion that you were talking about at the beginning, Alex, that just like, this is the easy way. Yeah.
Which is also fine, the easy way.
No, I know, but that doesn't sound like that's what he wants.
Yeah.
But the thing is, what Rana's talking about is, Ron is talking about the right thing here, which is that Judaism, it's so hard sometimes because and this is a really unpopular thing to say, there are aspects of life that religious people have in whatever religion they are in, and it's closed off to people that aren't within that religion or within that religious sect or within that religious, there's a language, there's an ethos, there's something.
It's honestly not that different. You date an Italian guy. His mother says she'll teach you how to make the sauce for Sunday. She teaches you, but she doesn't teach you how to make she leaves one ingredient out of the meatball. And then you make terrible meatballs for the rest of your life. And your husband thinks I should have married an Italian woman because the mother doesn't want to share. There are elements of, so everybody has to give something up here if they want to be together.
I'm just saying that if you live a life where you have invested Judaism in every aspect of it, your music is Jewish, your internal monologue is Jewish, your food is Jewish, the way you dress, the way you think, the way you rest, the way you work, if that's all imbued with something Jewish and you have a partner that doesn't have that, then that is a difficulty. Like I have in my lived experience, that is how I've, you know.
But why did you seek that person out? Why is he dating a shiksa?
Because they're, first of all, but that doesn't mean that there aren't that someone who doesn't have that in every part. Like you don't need to date someone who's your carbon copy. Like dating someone who speaks a different language or is from a different place.
They're having serious conversations about the rest of their life together.
Which is good, but I'm saying that like if you want this Jewish person who has invested Judaism in every aspect of their life, then and you go, listen, there are, it may be an impasse. It may be impossible. Like, I've dated people from different faiths who have had this in their own life where they go, listen, I dated this girl, Alice, who had a personal relationship with Jesus that conflicted with where we fit into each other's, you know, fit into each other's lives. Like, it is a really tough situation, and it's also not anyone's fault. And I think people look for these binaries in relationships the way we look for binaries in everything right now, where we go, whose fault is this? Who is right? Like, is he wrong for insist? It's not a fault. These are two people with needs, and those needs may not line up with each other. And so I really feel for both of these people, actually, because
but there's
like,
another way to look at this.
Oh, please.
And I hope that she, I honestly hope she plays this conversation for him. Mm. He also has to have a conversation with himself, not just about what his Jewishness means to him and what living a Jewish life means, but what it means to be known and to be loved and to be understood by another person. Because that is, if that is what you want in this life, if you really want a lifelong partner, that is an incredibly hard thing to find. And if that means not being so obstinate about, well, I hope she learns all the prayers or whatever it is,
no,
but saying this girl, she may have her own things and I have to respect that on some level too. And we have to meet in the middle because how I feel when I'm with her and when I discuss life and when I make decisions and I feel buoyed by the love that I know that I have somewhere in this world, that I'm loved by someone in this way, if that's what they have, then that is a very serious thing to let go of, and that they have to find a way to move past this obstacle and come to some compromise. But she also has to examine her relationship with religion and what she really, it's okay if she's not a religious person.
I also
can't
just
really
think they
be
need
a Christian and a Jew at the same time.
I also just think they need to discuss it more. I feel like they don't talk about it that often. And I'll tell you why, because
she's scared.
Yeah. And she said she's scared it will end. And she said herself, like, I don't know if I'll get the ring first or if the da da da. You've talked about nothing. It sounds you haven't talked about it that much. So really you should just, and it's a good idea to play this for him, like you said, Rana, because really you just need to be talking about this more with him. I don't feel like you haven't talked to him about it that much.
Also, I got to tell you, you're not getting that ring right now.
That's what I was going to say too. I don't know.
You're just not.
I know. I've never heard it working that everyone I know who's converted has had to convert first.
Yeah. But, and also like, you know, he'll tell you this. If he's truly dati, if he's truly religious, you can't convert for him. Like they, modern Orthodox people believe that down to their heels. Like, you can't convert for a partner. You have, like, that's not on the form. Like,
it's because this is your belief system now.
Well, it's because something resonates with you or you find beauty in it. And by the way, there are, you know, Jews don't proselytize. Like, we don't.
Right.
We're the Lutherans of the religious community.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is interesting. If you're Lutheran or Episcopalian or Anglican or Anabaptist, like, there'd be very different. You probably have a really confusing relationship with where this is right now. But when you say you're a Christian, it feels like you may have a personal relationship with Jesus, as foreign as that phrase sounds coming out of my mouth. And so you have to examine that first, and not wanting to change yourself for a person. Like,
I don't
that's
think that
right
she has
impulse,
a personal though. Relationship with Jesus. I think she fears.
She said she's a Christian.
She fears it's part of her identity. It's part of her cultural identity.
Yeah.
And I think she fears giving up all of that, which I think is a very important fear to listen to. Giving up who you are completely to join another flock. Which is what she sees the requirement here.
When you grow up in a Christian environment and going to, for instance, I did, going to church every week and also going to a Christian school where we had church every morning. It is really, even though your beliefs sometimes may be logical or something in that way where you're like, well, I'm not really going to talk about people's afterlives, or I'm not going to think about where I'm going. It's so deep inside you that, I think Woody, I don't want to quote him actually.
You can quote Woody Allen. He's
didn't he say something like, I don't believe in God and that scares me to death or something. I mean, there is a thing where that is the ultimate betrayal, even when you don't actually believe in those things any longer. So I do see how someone would struggle to say, I'm not a Christian any longer, even though they're probably not a practicing Christian.
Well, you're raised in a very nice, supportive home, and it feels like turning your back on your family. You know, that you feel that, again, these, what we were talking about, faults and absolutes and binary decisions. Accepting one is turning her back on the other, is how she sees it. And maybe there is a world where these people can live a more modern life than that, where it isn't quite that simple.
I would also talk to people who have, who've gone through this experience. Kate, they're reachable. They're out there.
But I would really
Kate Capshaw,
ask,
you could,
I would really, I would really ask this guy. I really hope he hears this. I would ask him, because I think part of the problem is that they're young, and so he thinks what he thinks, but part of it is that he's also sort of parroting his existence. I would ask him to really think deeply about what's important to him and what he can live with and what he can't live with, and that that may be an impasse for them, but that he also needs to do that soul searching instead of just sort of the try not to be offended, Alex, but Jewish men tend to take a position, which is my way, the highway, about stuff like this. And if he's doing that, because that's the culture he was raised in, he needs to decide what he's willing to lose over that and whether he's willing to keep looking. And all it right. may just be also there in the 20s in this relationship.
Well, someone else
is
going to
be a wonderful
that.
Relationship that didn't work out. But
it's also, you guys went to a good school. You went to... Also, if you took the very famous Russian fairy tales class at the University of Pittsburgh, you went to a really good school. Like, these are well-spoken. You're a well-spoken person. He's a well-spoken person. Like, you should have this discourse, and opening it up is not going to end it. Like,
and
it's
you don't
not,
have to break up that night if he says,
no,
I want to marry a Jew, and you say,
more.
I don't want to be one.
Yeah.
Yes, you
it's
really
a
conversation.
Don't. It's an evolving conversation.
But I've had girlfriends live with it. I've had Jewish girlfriends say to me, I worry that I'm not Jewish enough. And here's the other thing, and this is for him and you, which is that if you get to that point where you go, well, I'm not, you know, there are aspects of my life. Like, I realized, it took me until my 30s to realize that a partner did not need to be everything for me. Like, Hannah doesn't like to hike. I need to hike. It's like I have this irrepressible wandering Jew gene. Like, I need to be walking around constantly.
But you don't have to hike with her. She's there when you get home.
Right.
I have a hiking buddy. I need to I study Parsha every week with my friend Sarah Hurwitz. Hannah doesn't always need to study the Parsha, but she always asks because she's
Parsha's
curious.
Parsha's the Torah portion for that week, Brian.
Yes.
Got it.
So I do – I have practices in my life that are okay for me to fulfill, and my partner doesn't. And also, she dips her toes in and out. You know, she doesn't hike, but she did the Narrows in Zion with me, which is the best thing I've ever done. So, like,
the what?
Narrows.
I'm actually
in
dying
Zion.
To do that trip. That sounds amazing.
Oh,
the internet
the
keeps
Narrows
cutting
in
up.
Zion.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
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 It's so cool. But yeah, like, there are different functions that partners can fulfill. But if also for him, if she's willing to take this leap, like, Rona and Brian said, you need to meet her.
Somewhere.
You need to meet her. Oh my God. You better fucking appreciate it, man, because it is such a big thing. It is so hard.
But
and also, we take it for granted because we're raised in it. So we don't realize how foreign it sounds to people. We don't realize how, like, when you're raised and it's part of your language and your background, even if you go, well, I'm not as religious as XYZ, it is so difficult. It is so, and also every time I meet a convert, I'm like honored. Like, I'm thrilled. Like, the actress Helena York is, who's like one of the funniest people alive, is a convert. And like, when I met her and heard what she was experiencing, I was like, wow, this is, I'm honored to be part of the same religion and species as this person. So, like, yeah, you better honor this, this person's journey. Because it must be an absolute weight on them.
All right, I'm getting tired of talking about Jewish people.
I think we gotta just end it, Rana, because we've been going on for so long now. I think we just gotta do two questions. Oh no, that wasn't a criticism of you. We've all been really enjoying
it. No, it's my fault. It's my fault.
It isn't at all.
I was long-winded.
No, don't worry about it. Alex Edelman. What you're a right, phenomenal. Brent.
That was a lot. We had a lot there.
Oh, Lana, we had a lot there. Yeah, Alex, we had a lot there. Truly, I feel like I learned a lot today. I'm not even kidding. I feel like I laughed a lot, and I feel like I loved a lot. I love you.
You learned, you laughed, and you loved.
Absolutely.
What else?
Which could be the title of your new show.
Learn, laugh, love.
Yeah.
The next one. The next one. Opening at the Atlantic City Playhouse.
Please go see Just For Us. It's still at Cherry Lane, or should we direct?
No, it's moving. Okay.
It's at the Soho till April 23rd, till April 30th now. It is sold out at the Soho,
but there
are tickets eminently available for the,
Barrow Street or Greenwich.
For Greenwich House.
Greenwich House.
Whatever it's called now. But thank you so much for having me. I love this podcast, so I cannot believe that. And I'm not doing a ton of podcasts, but they were like, do you want to do this one? I was like, more than any. I think I actually asked to do it.
That's such a compliment.
That is true, dear. You reached out to us.
I did. I said, can you reach out? Because I love this podcast.
That's a huge compliment. Yes. Thank you.
And I'm mentally rating myself against some of my favorite guests, and I'm coming up wicked short. So I hope you guys.
Who are your favorites?
Not at all. You're one of my favorites.
Wicked short. Listen to him. Who are your favorites? No.
I can't possibly.
Sandra Bernhard, Mitch Zelpa.
Yes, of course. I mentioned those. Who else? Scarlett is so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good enough. Those are three good ones.
No.
Where do you fall on Naomi Ekperrigan?
I love Naomi Ekperrigan, but I haven't heard. Has she been twice?
And she's been on the Patreon. Six or seven times.
No, she hasn't.
Times. Yes.
8 or 9 Ekperrigan? Times at least. Yeah.
She's basically been here more than anyone else.
Co-host.
Oh, you know who I love? You know who I love hugely? My girlfriend's boss, Mike Schur.
He's wonderful.
I mean, he's Mike Schur. He's like a god on that. Mike Schur.
He's wonderful.
Oh, my goodness me. He's so talented, so funny.
Twice he's been in the carriage.
I know. I've heard.
He wants to do a residency.
Yeah, we're doing a residency with him at Universal Studios Orlando, I believe. Yeah.
Are you kidding?
We still need his wife to figure it out for us because she's Regis's daughter, so she's going to have the in.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah, can you believe it?
Of course.
She's Regis Philbin's daughter?
Yep.
She is Regis Philbin's daughter, J.J. Philbin, yeah.
I also love the politician that you had on. Who was the politician?
Oh, Julian Castro.
Andy Slavitt?
Yes.
Oh, Julian Castro.
Yes, yeah. Julian Castro is Julian Castro's pretty good.
Oh, yeah,
he's great.
What a sweet.
Also, handsome.
The girl who's in that show with Lennon Parnham.
Jessica St. Clair.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
She'll be sorry you described it that way.
No, I just love that show, and Lennon's the one I always remember.
They're both.
Well,
that's worse, what you just said.
So. No, I just.
Yeah.
Don't worry. I doubt in a million years that Jessica St. Clair is listening.
Yeah, they're both incredible, and they'd both be thrilled to be described as each other's partner and best friend. So.
Yes. And lastly, I got to give shout out Kurt Braunholer and Scotty Landis.
Oh, so fun.
I think that might be my gateway episode. I think that was the one that got
They're hilarious.
Also, lastly, Rona,
this is over. Yes, dear.
All right. Go ahead.
Give us the last link. Thank you for doing the Pesach Seder last year. Oh, were you
involved
in that?
I was the head writer. You emailed me. Yes, that was me.
I made so many Jewish names. I didn't even know it was you.
Yeah,
it was my pleasure. I would be happy to be involved in anything like that at any time.
You will be.
If you're doing it again this year.
We loved having you. We're not doing that. We're going to do something else. Benj and I. But we're Benj Pasek is someone you need to have on the show.
Yeah, we love Benj. Why don't we have him on? Yeah, of course we should. That's a great idea.
Well, I have to figure out who that is. I'll look it up.
Do you ever heard of Dear Evan Hansen?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Greatest Showman, Saturday Night Seder.
All of them.
Oh,
writes
really?
All of them. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, dear.
Well, then I'd love to.
It was such a pleasure. Give Hannah our love, please.
Please. And Scarlett.
And I want to have her on too, but I don't know.
I hope you continue to recover very, very well and speedily.
Oh, yes, of course.
Thank you so much.
Got it.
And kiss, and continued success with the show. And we can't wait to come see it.
Thanks.
Hold on for 5 seconds.
Are you going to be in New York?
No.
Oh.
But who are we giving something to, Rana?
Oh, my God. We didn't do the giveaway.
All right, Alex. You know this part of the show, right?
Between.
Yes.
So are we going to give something special to the person who may or may not be converting or the soon-to-be grandmother?
The converting for me.
All right, Rana.
For me, it's the grandmother.
I think for me, it's the grandmother too.
Yeah.
Because her letter was just much more sad to me.
Yeah, she's really having a hard time. It's not sad.
She needs a way to find it to not be.
And I'll tell you what, you say it's not sad. It is sad to have a daughter-in-law you hate.
Yeah.
You don't, everyone hates their daughter-in-law.
No, that's not true at all.
It's the first law of in-laws.
I'm sorry, we're going to have to overvote you here.
Yeah.
Fine, I'm over. I cede to a greater.
We're vetoing you here. And Brian, I don't know what we're giving her, but it's a bottle of scotch and something else.
Absolutely.
A frying pan to hit herself.
I was about to say, just something to knock herself out when it's just too much.
All right, dear. Alex,
all right,
dear,
Alex,
go to your
go take your Adderall or whatever you need right now.
Okay. Oh, Jesus Christ. I'm just enjoying the
beautiful.
The cord mustache.
You'll say this today, senior.
I really hope this is the video clip this week. Me too.
It's his Dolly
impression.
Tony,
if you're listening. Please. Yeah, Tony, if you're listening. Yeah.
Don't do me dirty like that.
All right, dear. All right, kiss.
All right.
You ready for the cliffhanger, Rana?
What are we going to give that woman, Brian?
Oh my God, we have to think about it. Okay, we got to get her something soothing.
Yeah.
What do you think? Like one of the candles or one of those things that you put on your gorgeous.
It's tricky. Yeah. I'm tempted to get her something gorgeous for the baby.
Uh-huh.
So that she can, when she has the baby at her house, she has something gorgeous. Her own little nursery.
Oh, right. Well, you probably know baby stuff.
But
right
I think
now,
it's encouraging the wrong feelings in her. I think it's encouraging a little too much ownership over the baby if we do that. And we don't want to encourage that. What we really want to encourage her to do, I'm tempted to send her like a cozy robe or a slipper.
Sure.
Something warm. I think she needs to sit with herself a little bit.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
I agree. I think she needs something soothing and comforting.
I mean, we always do the Palo Santo candle, and that's good at new beginnings and that sort of thing.
That's true. I remember there was like a set of bath gels on the...
Oh, the Suzanne... Yeah. The
Maybe
trio,
that.
If they're still doing the bath trio.
Oh, right. That might have just been for the holidays.
Yeah, but we could do that if she's a Soka.
Yeah. Or a Santa Maria Novella. We haven't been there in a minute.
You know what? That's true.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Okay.
Let's do a Santa Maria Novella.
I can't believe
Novella.
All these things I know now, Rana. Potpourri simply because of you.
Candle.
I love it.
All right, dear. Are you going to read the cliffhanger?
I'm ready to do it. Dear Rana and Brian, I'm a longtime listener and big fan of you both. This week, after 2 years of doing our utmost to avoid it, my boyfriend and I both tested positive for COVID. I thought the numbers were going down, Rana.
No, well, they're going up in Europe.
Right.
Yeah, and that means bad news is headed this way.
But then
there's the issue of we don't know what version of it is. It's this new BA2 something.
Right, yes.
So, but I don't know how bad it is. I just know people are getting it.
Yeah. The clincher is that one of my best friends and her fiance were in town for a week-long trip to New York. They recently moved from New York City, where we live, to Chicago. And my friend, let's call her Louisa, tested positive as well. It seems that my boyfriend contracted COVID while on vacation in Europe last week and passed it unknowingly, of course, to both me and Louisa. Okay, so there it is.
Okay.
There has been no person in my life more COVID conscious than Louisa, already prone to extreme anxiety. During the pandemic, I have watched her make herself absolutely miserable, taking every precaution to the nth degree. I've also been very careful. I'm extremely immunocompromised. And yet Louisa is placing the full blame of her illness on me and my boyfriend. Oh my God.
Yikes.
The guilt we both feel is immense, and we've apologized to Louisa everywhere we know
how. Okay, there's a goddamn pandemic.
Yeah,
the guilt we
get over it. Then she
it's
should just
everywhere,
be,
Louisa.
She should be in solitary confinement then.
Yes.
But at this point...
Okay, boy in the bubble. Keep going.
Exactly. But at this point, I just
she
feel
She shouldn't
angry.
Have come to your house if she didn't want to get COVID.
Precisely.
Every time we leave our houses or open the door
to
somebody...
Yeah, you take a risk.
There is a chance of getting COVID.
Of course.
Keep going.
But at this point, I just feel angry. This is affecting our lives too, and it's truly not anybody's fault. I believe that at this point in the pandemic, we all know the amount of risk we've decided to take on. I've been trying to check in with Louisa about her symptoms and have been receiving passive-aggressive texts in response about the various plans and family obligations having COVID is going to ruin. Ugh. But she's also
terrific.
Yeah, honestly. But she's also insisting on quarantining far after CDC guidelines recommended, just to be safe. How do I move forward from this? I'm trying to focus on recovering and keeping things in perspective. We're all vaccinated and boosted and have had relatively mild symptoms. Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah.
But I don't know how to proceed in my friendship with Louisa. It seems like even if she forgives me, she'll keep blaming my boyfriend, placing me in an impossible bind. Thank you for any advice you're willing to provide. Sincerely, COVID positive and guilty. Please don't use my name. P.S. For context, we're all in our late 20s. Oh, well, I mean.
Oh, really? Thanks.
That's more than just for context.
Yeah, we had no idea. We thought you were 48.
Patreon.com/AskRon to listen to that cliffhanger, not to mention for every other bonus episode that you can ever imagine.
Oh, I'm so embarrassed for the people that don't belong to the Patreon.
Well, it doesn't make any sense because it's $5 a month to get in on the
audio. It is now.
And then $10. Rana, you're absolutely right.
Grandfather yourself in because
interest rates have gone up.
It's coming. Inflation, and ever heard of it?
Ever heard of it? And $10 a month gets you all of this plus the video. Rana looks stunning each and every time. She's wearing her gorgeous leopard time.
Love to disagree, true.
And I just had
another piece of a little bit of an instinct about the gift. Cover your ears because you're not going to like it.
Me?
We're going to send her a robe with a grandmother.
Great.
When baby Steve was very little and I wanted to steal time with her, mm-hmm. In other words, I wanted her to fall asleep on me, or I wanted to, you know, other people that's she was so getting sweet. Comfortable with. But I thought, you know what? I know what she needs. Hold on a second. I would put on, we're not going to send this. We'll send on something similar. But I would put on my robe from the Hotel Bel Air.
Oh, you do love that. I see why you're telling me to cover my ears.
Super soft, cozy material. It won't be from there. We'll send it from somewhere else.
No, it's okay.
And baby Steve would just burrow right into that robe. And I would think, ha, I gotta.
That's
and
nice.
This grandmother, that's a trick. The first thing it's going to do is going to allow you to wear it and relax and think about how you're being a little bit much at the moment. And you need to sort it out, and get it figured out. But it's also, after the baby arrives, going to be a way for you to sneak an extra cuddle with the baby when the baby doesn't even know it.
How wonderful, Rana. Yeah. And I love the way you were saying that. It sounds so nice.
And then you hold them. I told you, go cozy, 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 cozy.
Cozy, cozy, cozy. I love it.
I'm going to give you a cozy, cozy, cozy hug.
I want one, Rana. The next time I see you, I'm going to come up to you and I'm going to pinch your cheeks.
All right, dear.
Kiss, kiss.
Kiss, kiss.